Welcome to the University of the Free State Career Services podcast, where we talk to experts about the ins and outs of jobs and share tips that will give you a grip on your future career. I am Dr. Cindy Gray, and with me today is Cathy Sims. She's the former director of the South African Graduate Employers Association, SAGEA, or known as SAGEA. Hi, Cathy. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. It's lovely to be here.
So I want to start at the very basics. Please explain to us, what is SAGEA?
Okay. SAGEA is fundamentally a community of practice. It is a group of 350 professionals across South Africa, some international, who have interests in South Africa, who, on behalf of their company, are building talent. By that I mean they are out there looking at young talent, universities, post-school education functions and organizations, and taking on talent into their organization and building them for the future. So creating future opportunities for young graduates primarily.
So if someone stumbled upon this podcast and they've listened to the first 30 seconds, why should they continue to listen? What do you think you can offer that is important to the listener, be that a student, a parent, or an employer?
Good point. I think one of the things that I would say is that we as a collective, as a community of practice, have spent the last 21 years, that's how long we've been around, trying to figure out demand and supply in South Africa of talent, benchmarked against international practices. And we have very rich data and insights to inform the latest trends in the space. So whether it's, you know, what is the demand for graduates going forward, whether it's what are employers really looking for, whether it's where are the growing sectors, where are the growing functions, where are the growing roles. So it's those kinds of insights that bring our members together to collaborate, to contextualize, and then to offer information and advice to the market.
So on that point, do you think that universities or a degree properly prepares a candidate for work, or do they need to do additional things in to supplement or enhance or better prepare them for work?
That's a difficult one, because yes and no.
Okay.
I think universities and faculties who are close to understanding and working with industry sectors, NGOs, wherever their graduates may go, because that's the point, you know. Where do graduates go when they complete their degree? What do they want to do? And therefore, what does it take to get in and be successful in a role in the future? Whether you are employed or self-employed, it's about thinking through that. And the reality is, if universities are connecting and understanding where their graduates will go and really being thoughtful about what is it that is needed, and then building back and saying, okay, and how do we show students how the theory that they learn applies into the world of work, then I think you've got a good chance. So the four key areas that employers, when I ask them over and over again, what is it that's important to you?
Yes.
They always talk about critical thinking or problem solving. You know, people use different words, but it's much of the same. It's about your cognitive thinking capability. It's about your creativity and ability to consider all the options that are coming at you and making sound decisions. It's about how you work with other people, so the collaboration skills that you've got. And really about communicating those. So those are the four skills that, honestly, they were important 10 years ago. They're as important now. And how those skills are built in a university are different. Sometimes you get excellent communication and collaboration skills by being on a sports field. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's, you know, tutoring in a class. Sometimes it's having responsibilities in your res, et cetera, et cetera. So you can get that in class. You can get that outside of class. It's the university experience. It's not just the academics that prepare you for the world of work.
Okay, Kathy, I just want to recap those four skills that you talk about. So that was communication, critical thinking, and the other two?
Collaboration, communication. We actually call them the four C's.
Okay, great.
Four C's. So you can't forget them.
Yeah, the four C's.
Yes.
I heard you speak about critical thinking yesterday, and I just want to invite everybody listening to go and view the masterclass that Kathy and her colleagues presented yesterday. It was live streamed, and it is available on UFS Live for you to view some fascinating stats and really good insight that I don't want to repeat here. So I invite you to go and watch that. But after I watched that, I thought that so many people talk about critical thinking and it's so important and this and that. And then I wondered if people really know what critical thinking is. So I asked ChatGPT to explain critical thinking to me like I was 10 years old. And it was the most beautiful explanation that it said, critical thinking means asking questions and not just accepting information. And I thought, well, that is how children are. So we're born with critical thinking and then we lose it along the way. Do you think that is what happens? So we don't have to learn critical thinking. We just have to rediscover our innate critical thinking.
Yes, and it comes with curiosity, right?
Yeah.
You know, being curious and saying, who said that? Mm-hmm. And is that a credible source? 10 years ago, we always used to say, well, Google says, you know, Google says, and who knows, you know, that source and that content. And it's so interesting because the other day we were actually working on a piece, a view of how we felt about a particular issue happening in it. And it was really around what is the value of a graduate to a business? So how do you convince a business to actually build skills and take on a graduate? And we were saying, these are the things we think. What is, you know, our ChatGPT friend think? And, you know, they came up with like four or five points.
Yeah.
Innovation was one, you know, bringing youthful innovation to the party. You know, person who is super keen on learning and growing, because that's what you've done for the last 10 years of school, 12 years of school, plus 3-4 years of university.
Yeah.
So you've always been in a learning environment. So we were going through all of this and then we asked ChatGPT to say, who said that?
And
then we started looking at the sources, you know. So it was a McKinsey report. It was a Future of Work report by Deloitte. It was CIPD, which is the leading expert on professional development in the UK. And once I looked at that, I said, okay, then I'm fine with who the sources are. And that's the thing, you know, when somebody says something, be curious enough to say who said, check them out, are they credible, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So for me, it's about being curious that builds your critical thinking muscle. But there's another part, and that is when you are given information, and let's say that information is true, because there's so much fake at the moment.
Sure.
If that is true, then look at and say, well, if that be the case, so what? And it's in the so what, with what, with who, you know, it's, I mean, I don't want to sell Simon Sinek and he's, but why, what, how often is a process to help you think through, why do you say this, for what, why is it important, et cetera, et cetera. So it's the critical thinking comes with lots of curiosity, comes with lots of just an inquiring mind. And that is what we need. Somebody who critically thinks through, synthesizes information, because we all know we're overloaded with information.
Yes.
You know, is able to synthesize the information and say, so what? And what am I going to do about it?
But I can definitely also recommend Simon Sinek. I think he's such a beautiful critical thinker that now that we're on the topic,
yeah,
that he truly tries to deeply understand concepts. So if anybody is looking for a podcast or a book to read, we can both recommend Simon.
I feel a little bit corny saying the why. but I mean, I always say he made that, you know, available to people to actually say, it's not difficult. Just ask the why.
Yes.
Why are you doing this? Why is this important? Et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I think that is really important nowadays because, like you said, there's so much information and we're just accepting so much of it. And it's almost like we feel that we don't have time to ask why. We must just absorb more and more and more information. Mm-hmm. And it's not the case. You should actually stop. And like you say, companies, and I think also the world, needs people with more understanding and asking questions than just, you know, absorbing information.
Exactly. Yeah. And in everything that we're involved in, you know, be it business, whatever information comes to you today, there are social impacts, there are economic impacts, there's human impact, and we always need to think about all of those. Because if you really want to be a good citizen of our country, making a business decision, you always need to think about how does that impact people, how does that impact economy, et cetera, et cetera. And it's in that makes you an incredible human being, because you're making informed business decisions that support our economy and support our people.
Now, here's a difficult question, because I'm just thinking, if I was an employer, I would definitely want a candidate who can do these things or at least understand that it's important. But now you're looking for a job. How do you communicate these skills of yours to the employer so that they know that you have them? Because I'm thinking, if I just put on my CV, good critical thinker, that's not really going to land. So how do you communicate these four C's that you have to an employer, right in your CV, because now we want them to shortlist you.
Correct.
Let's think about that. How can students communicate these skills?
Evidence. And that's the thing. The first thing that you need to understand is, and let's take something as simple as communication and collaboration.
Okay.
The first thing that you learn in communication and collaboration is, and you might learn it in school and you might learn it in first year, if you had to get a part-time job, let's say at a restaurant or any kind of service industry, in itself, you work in a team. In itself, you have to be polite with customers, service their needs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's really, I think you start with who am I and what is my bucket of skills now? Then it's looking and saying, what opportunities are out there that might suit me in the future? And what is the bucket of skills that they need? And then working back, and you've got career advisors, you've got academic advisors, you've got AI can help you with this as well, where you can actually say, help me understand what is it I need and how I evidence that. And therefore, what you can do is you can build a pathway of success for yourself. So in order for me to be suitable for a job at the end of my undergraduate degree, I need to have these skills. How do I evidence them? And in what context, et cetera, et cetera. And I said it yesterday as well. A lot of companies will say, do you have any work experience? And students often think work experience is the barrier I have to finding a job, because all companies want work experience. Mm-hmm. I have no work experience. I'm in a vicious cycle. But work experience comes in so many formats. As I said, as a tutor, as, you know, getting involved in RES, getting involved in some society at university, be it dating, that too.
For sure.
Yeah, negotiation skills.
Yes.
Be it debating, be it whatever. But you also could participate in any service learning exercise. Some people call it volunteering. Some people call it service learning. You can volunteer to solve a problem that you feel strongly about. And in that, you work in a team, you communicate not only with your team, but with those that you're serving. You're critically thinking through their issues and how you can contribute. You are being creative. And, you know, I'm always quite frightened of creativity. I think, oh, I'm not creative. You know, it's not my core skill. But if you break down creativity down to its simplest format, it's about listening to a problem and saying, what are my options? That's creativity.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
It's
you know?
Not painting and
exactly.
Or just painting.
Yeah, I can't paint. I'm not creative. Yeah. It's literally saying, what are the options? Yes. And then backing yourself on those options. Yeah. That's the decision-making part. And then when things go wrong, you know, demonstrating your resilience to bounce back and try again and fail and but fail fast and move forward, etc., etc. So there are so many different ways in developing your skills. Also in your academic reading, you know, whether you are doing history, whether you're doing chartered accounting, whether you're doing engineering, when you are given a topic that you have to go with, you know, in lectures, go back and actually read more about it and say who said what about it and what are the different opinions on these things. How do I form my own opinion? I always say that employers are not too worried in an interview about an outcome. It's the process that you went through in thinking to an outcome.
I love that, yeah. Mm. And I think there was a time, I'm not a CV expert, but where students or people in general thought that you must only put your very good accomplishments in a CV. But if I'm listening to you, it almost feels like we should rethink that and become more creative in terms of CVs.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so
absolutely.
Putting something in like I was part of my school's gymnastic team.
Yes.
Covers so many things, like you said, communication,
exactly.
Grit,
exactly.
Discipline. So an employer,
personal discipline.
Yeah, an employer can learn so much from these activities. Mm. Or you as a student put together your own study group. It doesn't
yes.
have to be formalized.
Exactly, exactly.
Three or four of your friends, and you put together a thinking group or a mastermind, and then that goes onto your CV because that covers those critical skills that you were talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you just go to a simple thing like time management, it's so important in life.
Yeah.
You know, it's such an important skill in your personal and your business or working or studying life because you have to put a plan together. You have to commit to that plan. And if you don't, you will fail at one of those things or some of those things. You know what I mean? And so you learn as you go along, how much time do I actually need? How much time do I even need to procrastinate? You know? Because we all need
you. I'm very good at that.
Exactly, you know. And, you know, do you go into an interview and say, what is your key strength? Well, I'm very good at procrastinating. But actually, you could turn that around and say, it's my thinking time.
For sure. And we all need that.
Exactly. So it's really about on your CV, putting those skills, but backing yourself and saying, yes, I have that. Mm. And you know, it's the other thing is a lot of students are very concerned around, you know, we know companies are looking for leadership skills. And I've not been one of those, you know, I'm not the head of this and the, you know, SRC and I'm not this and I'm not that. It's about, do you have the ability to manage self and others? That's all.
Yes.
It's that simple. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And as you say, self and others could be an informal study group.
Yes.
It could be getting someone else to commit to you of their time. It could be, I am the kind of person who likes to organize. Organizational skills is a key part of leadership. Influence, you know, can I influence people because I have critical thinking skills and therefore they trust my viewpoint on something. So there's all sub things to this big bucket of leadership skills. And people say, well, I'm not a leader. Well, if you were a tutor, you wouldn't actually call that leadership skills, but it's influencing significant amounts of younger people and telling them and sharing with them your love for the discipline.
Practically, when I listen to you, I think what students should do is look at the competencies, for example, that a vacancy wants.
Yes.
And then take that word. For example, if they say you need organizational skills, I would say ask ChatGPT to break down organizational skills in subcategories and give me examples of where I could have gotten organizational skills in my day-to-day life before they put together their CV.
Absolutely.
So that they do a deep dive in the requirements of the vacancy.
Absolutely.
I think practically they can do that.
And also, you know yourself. So for example, you know, my daughter, when she grew up, if you had to ask any of your friends what's happening on Friday, they'll say, well, I'll check with Ashley. Because she was in her group of friends, she was the organizer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that tells you something.
Yes.
She's the organizer. She's the mobilizer in the team. You know, so understand where you fit and how people see you as well. And I think it was Joanna that said yesterday, and, you know, ask people close to you, because they will say to you, with all the love in their heart, what you're good at and what you actually could be better at, or what they wouldn't give to you. As, for example, if in my team, if we had to write an article to the press, they wouldn't come to me first. It's not my favorite thing. You know what I mean? I can do it, but it's not my strength.
Yeah.
They will immediately go to Camilla, my colleague, because first of all, her mom was an English teacher. So that's a hell of a step up. But the other thing is, she actually loves writing.
Okay.
She loves writing.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And that's where teamwork, you can't be perfect at everything.
Yeah.
But that's where teamwork is so rich, because in my team, I've got the thinkers, I've got the writers, I've got the, you know, the organizers. And collectively, we are just so strong together. And that's what the world of work is like. You're going to be working together. So contributing your strength, contributing your, you know, the stuff that you love to do, you know, that's the richness of collaboration and teamwork.
Look, Kathy, I think I can talk to you for weeks with your wealth of information, and I think everybody should. I'm just sad that you are retiring. I'm sorry, you're going to have to find a way to share your wisdom. I'm not sure how. You don't like writing. I'm thinking YouTube.
Yes, yes, definitely.
But I want to conclude our discussion with one other, actually, this could be a podcast by itself, but everything that we have talked about up until now involves other people. And I remember from your presentation yesterday that recruiters often lean towards referrals from friends, family, and people in the industry when they are looking at what type of candidates they can shortlist or get for a particular position. My concern is that I think young people live more and more in isolation. And I think that we're slowly losing the skill to network and be with people and have a study group. And all those four C's that you spoke about involves other people. So would you say one of the primary things that we can encourage young people to do is to actually be more socially active in terms of networking and being involved with fellow students and lecturers?
Yes.
I think that's missing.
I so agree with you. I tend to say find the balance between tech and touch.
That's beautiful.
The technology you use and the human touch that you have. I really am a believer. I'm a touch person.
Okay.
I love technology to get me to the touch, but I don't use technology to be my touch point. Use the opportunities available to you at your university. Your university has advisory boards. Your university has a career service that interacts with employers all the time. There are thousands of people who came out of this university in the past that are now in professional opportunities or professional jobs. You know, let's say I want to go and work at a particular company. And the first thing I would do as a UFS grad is I would say, who have they hired before from my campus? And imagine if you picked up the phone or sent a message. I mean, I would pick up the phone, but sent a message on socials and said, my name is so-and-so. I noticed, on LinkedIn that you recently completed your degree and you're now in this role. I would love to buy you a cup of coffee and ask you for some information and advice about your pathway and how I could learn from it. Can you imagine somebody saying, no, I can't.
No.
I can't.
And that's such a good
idea. And that's how you get information from someone you have no connection with yet. Yeah. But you create that connection through you are somebody. And it's by the way, it's not asking for a job. You're asking for information and advice. Yes. That's all. Yes. So it's not threatening, you know?
This is such a gold mine, Kathy. And because I like to make things simple and practical, I'm summarizing our conversation. Two things that students need to do. Connect with people. Don't be afraid to connect. Don't be afraid to be creative with your CV. Mm. Those two things. Mm. If they take that away from today, I'm happy.
Fabulous. Fabulous.
Kathy, thank you so much for your time. Are you open for connection? You can ask that first. And where can people find you if they would like to? And
yes.
Are you going to start that YouTube channel?
First of all, now that I've been working for 40 years, so the first thing I'm going to do for the next 6 months, I'm not going to talk to anyone. I want to rest.
Okay, this is your last conversation, people. We've made history.
But what we have done as Sagia, the organization, we have opened up a platform called graduateemployers.co.za. And we put a lot of this kind of information in there. We also tell you about jobs. If you can't connect with somebody who is doing a possible job that you're interested in, we work with other professional bodies. We post jobs on there. We post information on there. We've got great social media that, you can link to, et cetera, et cetera. So we've got an awesome team that sits behind myself and our new executive director, Alice. We've got an awesome team with lots of information and advice. And we do often get offered to come to universities and talk.
But so say that again, graduate?
Graduateemployers.co.za.
Graduateemployers.co.za.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. So that's, if you can spell, you can get that right.
Graduate employers, just Google us.
Okay, sure. Mm. Thank you so much. And I encourage everybody to go to that website, join, follow on the socials and get creative with your CV and your network. Yes,
yeah,
and
be curious about your career.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
That's it for now. Listen to all our episodes to make sure that you get into the fast lane of career success.